Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm excited to share with you a conversation I had with James Bishara. He's got a brand new book out called Beyond Coffee, a sustainable guide to nootropics, adaptogens, and mushrooms. This is a very interesting topic to bring up because ultimately it dawned on me as I was preparing for this conversation with James that I'd never actually done a conversation on this show focused around caffeine. It's interesting because, you know, 80% of the world is consuming caffeine every day, and it's such a tied into productivity topic, this caffeination, this over-caffeination even. And I thought, you know, it does make sense to take a step back, take a look at this, and see what other possible sources of energy there are. And James has done a deep dive, as well as with his two co-authors, to assess which ingredients are scientifically proven to be effective and safe. So as we're all searching for the answer for optimal productivity, and for many of us, that's that first cup of coffee and then continual cups of coffee throughout the day, this book and this conversation will hopefully enlighten you to the proper amount of coffee, if any, you should be having. Other options that may be better for you, and ultimately a clearer path to energy, focus, and decreased stress and increased productivity. So I'll get out of the way and just say, enjoy this conversation with James Bishara. Well, this week it is my privilege to welcome to the show James Bishara. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Eric.
So we were talking pre-show that I have never really dedicated a show to, I don't know if the right word would be stimulants, although that's part of it, but caffeine specifically, and coffee for sure, but beyond coffee, which in fact is the name of your book, which is appropriate since this is beyond the to-do list. So I'm excited to talk with you about caffeine and over-caffeinating, which you have a story about, which kind of led you to this topic. I'd love for you to share. What's your backstory with caffeine?
Yeah, sure. So this is going to have intonations of true addiction throughout this story, but it goes back to I never really drank coffee, college, or even in my first job, but I started to get a taste for it. I loved the effects of the boost in energy that it would give me. Much like 80% of the world drinks caffeine daily, that's the predominant reason. It's not necessarily for the taste, though that can be acquired over time. But 7 years ago, and about 2 years into running my own company, I had about 50 employees. I took the modest love of it to a pretty crazy extreme. I was drinking about 5 to 7 cups of coffee a day with a to-do list of probably 10 to 12 things every single day that I was trying to crunch through. Running a company with 50 employees with probably an average of, I don't know, 8 or 9 meetings a day, in addition to all of the actual work that I needed to get done. And my dad, he's 72, still drinks about 5 cups of coffee a day. And I just thought, this is normal, this is fine. And 2 years into this pretty ridiculous routine, I say ridiculous because I look back and I can't believe that I would drink up to 7 cups of coffee a day and wow, think that it was fine. And side note, I would look it up just thinking, is this bad? Something tells me this probably isn't good. And I would see a research study here or there saying that it's totally fine. And for a research study for 6 weeks, maybe it is totally fine. But for me, 2 years in of this habit and this addiction, I ended up in the ER with a heart condition that I developed from stress and overconsumption of caffeine, an irregular heartbeat. I actually went to the doctor before the ER, and I had a heartbeat of about 170 beats per minute, and it had been going on for about 3 weeks. I thought it was kind of just butterflies in my stomach. I thought I was nervous about something. And when you're running your own company, you know, there's a dozen things you could be nervous about. But I couldn't pinpoint which one.
That number freaks me out just hearing it, because I know that on a heavy, let's see here, let's put that in context. That's a faster beat than somebody like really running almost
a marathon.
I mean, you're on a treadmill, you can, and you look down at your Apple Watch or whatever in the heartbeat section, and it's like you could get to 150 and feel like you're running. So 170
right
without activity is a shock.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Even in the book, I talk about strenuous aerobic exercise being really great for the body, and it's nature's most powerful anti-inflammatory is exercise. It's great for cognition. But strenuous aerobic exercise is getting to like 130 to 150
yeah.
Beats per minute. And the average resting heart rate is anywhere from 60 to 90 beats per minute. So this was double that and for 3 weeks straight. And I just was not aware of any of this. I didn't know how bad that was. I didn't even know my heart was beating that fast. It was beating so fast. It was more like a hum rather than kind of like a pounding heartbeat at 100 beats per minute or something. So it was pretty bad. And the doctor went through this litany of questions and said, so it appears you have what we call atrial fibrillation. I was 26 at the time, which is very, very young to get that. It's pretty abnormal. And it's brought on by stress and alcohol or caffeine. And I don't really drink. So he then asked, how much caffeine do you have a day? And I said, 5 to 7 cups a night. I say 5 to 7, but I was probably drinking 7. And he kind of nodded his head. He wasn't alarmist about it, but nodded his head. And he said, yeah, okay, well, we got to go to the ER across the street and need to have cardioversion, which is basically, you know, in the TV shows and movies, it's where they have those two metal paddles and they shock your heart back into a regular rhythm. So it's kind of dramatic. It's not too dangerous, but it was pretty dramatic for a 26-year-old that just an hour earlier just thought I was nervous about something. And before we went to the ER, though, he said, you know, you're going to have to likely limit your caffeine to about 80 milligrams a day. So that it doesn't trigger this heart condition. And I just had no idea, much like 170 or atrial fibrillation. I was just like, what is that? What is 80? I had no context for that number. And he said, so I was like, well, how many coffees is that? Is that 3 or 4? What's the limit? And he's like, no, that's about a half a cup of coffee. And I was like, there is no friggin' way out of everything. That's why I say, spoken like a true addict, out of everything that he said that day, including we need to go to the ER, cardioversion, heart condition. Out of everything he said, that was the thing. I was like, it stopped me on my tracks. I was like, there is no way I could get through the day on 80 milligrams of caffeine. And so I kind of wanted to dive into that a little bit with him of like, okay, what do you mean? How serious is this? And it was just like, that's where the drama kind of took a foothold of like, okay, this thing that I've depended on for years to get through the day, and you know, 2 years into running your own company, you still very much feel like you're at the very beginning. And it's just like your big crutch is now taken out from under you and in one fell swoop. And so he noticed the dramatic response. And he said, have you ever tried green tea? It has this stuff in it called L-theanine, which will help extend the absorption of caffeine over time and calm you down, because you're not only your daily stress of running your own company is having an effect on your biophysiology, but the coffee you're drinking, every cup is spiking your cortisol, your stress hormone. And talk about lack of context. It just was, none of this had ever crossed my mind before. I never even thought of the concept of there being a biological cost to drinking coffee or drinking caffeine or taking a stimulant like that. It just seemed like, well, there's almost 8 billion people around the world. Everybody drinks coffee or tea. It must be the end all be all of, you know, coffee must be totally fine for us. And yeah, he said that one phrase of it has this stuff called L-theanine in it that will help extend your absorption of caffeine over a longer period of time and calm you down, because just coffee has without L-theanine will spike your cortisol. That single phrase of this L-thea stuff kind of just got lodged in my brain and led to the next 6 months, my kind of engineering mind just went hardcore after researching all of this stuff, because this brand new radical concept is now in my mind of other compounds coupled with caffeine can give me a more productive routine, a more productive approach to my day. And so that's where it all started. And 7 years later, and a Amazon bestselling book on the topic is where we are today.
It sounds like, again, you getting to that point of overconsumption and especially addiction, it was out of necessity. You weren't going at it from a desire or a, ooh, I just love coffee. Got to have my coffee because I like it. It's because, no, I have to have it, or if I don't have it, I don't function.
Yeah, I think it was out of necessity. I'd say perceived necessity.
Yeah.
And then the other 50% was just the cultural permission to just drink a lot of caffeine. It's, it's interesting. My wife and I were watching the Apple TV show, The Morning Show.
Yes.
The Jennifer Aniston show the other day. And in the opening scene of the first episode, it shows her just waking up at 4 a.m., chugging a Red Bull, making a coffee. She just looks absolutely wrecked. Getting started for her day, and it's the first scene of the entire show. And I think they chose that scene because it's really relatable. We all kind of look at that and say, yeah, that is me, or that has been me, of just burning it at completely both ends, barely getting through. I mean, she's like almost collapsing on her treadmill at 5 a.m. With a Red Bull in hand. And it just is, even though we know, and I know, hosts a morning show, I think we all can relate to that feeling of like, okay, I have so much in front of me today. I have so little energy within me, and I've got to find it somewhere else. And we end up chugging coffee and energy drinks, thinking that those short-term boosts are helpful, having no clue what the biological cost is happening on, whether it's spiking your stress and cortisol or causing anxiety or limiting the quality of your sleep to where you need more caffeine the next day. All of these things became my fascination over the subsequent few years.
Yeah. And well, that's exactly why I bring it up, because what you're describing is, and the way you told your story of how you got to where you were, is in my story or in my experience with caffeine. Every time I start to get to a point where I'm feeling over caffeinated, which again, for some people, they're like, psh, that's not even a thing. Don't even, whatever.
Right.
All caffeine is good caffeine. And it's like, don't talk to me before coffee and all those kinds of, quippy,
right,
Pinterest or Instagram, whatever you want to call it, images. It's funny because, again, it's when life is out of whack, when I'm stressed, when I'm tired, when I'm not eating right, that I rely on coffee, and it becomes this loop of I become over caffeinated, which then affects the things that would have, if I'd been doing them right, kept me from feeling like I needed the coffee, but I need the coffee. And so it then keeps spiraling.
Right. Yeah. And this, a few foundational thoughts after starting this whole kind of fascination and dive into all of the research. And by the way, it's so funny. 7 years ago, I thought, obviously, coffee is the end all be all of energy, because 7.7 billion people can't be wrong with coffee or tea. 80% of the world consumes it each day, coffee or tea. And so I just thought caffeine's the end all be all. Coffee is the American drink, and what are the odds that there's anything better? Because if there was, we'd know about it. And you fast forward 7 years, and now the exact opposite is true in my mind. It's actually the opposite of like, what are the odds that we just stumbled on the end all be all of energy and productivity 400 years ago when we started to collectively drink coffee? And it just now, fast forwarding through all of the research in the book, which has hundreds of scientific studies cited, we actually, it's a new field of study, but it's not that new. There's about four decades of research on a lot of these compounds that will boost your productivity. And now, like I said, it's 7 years later, and I think the exact opposite is true. What are the odds? I think it's, what are the odds that we stumbled on the end all be all 400 years ago, and it actually seems pretty obvious. The 21st century, we're going to create something much better than the thing that we developed without any science at all, just subjective experience of taking a sip of something and being like, whoa, okay, I'm feeling energized. It's a nascent cultural understanding of the science, but the science is, you know, many of these compounds covered in the book have been rigorously scrutinized scientifically and shown really big improvements for cognition or stress reduction or energy.
I want to dive into the definition of the word nootropic or anything like that. But before that, I actually want to go and set up a little bit more context here, which is that what we're talking about here is, you know, it's hilarious to me that after doing this show for what's going close to 8 years now, a productivity show, I've never had an episode where we talk about caffeine, yet caffeine and coffee are so just kind of tied in people's minds to productivity. But it's because, again, what we were getting at earlier, which is, well, caffeine makes me alert, which equals energy, which equals focus, which equals productivity. And that's just not a math equation that's 100% accurate. Now, energy's connected to productivity, right? But it's not the be all end all. So how do you see the role of energy playing out when it comes to productivity?
I love that question and kind of that zooming out, because I think 100 years ago, you might just say, okay, energy and productivity are synonymous. If you're a farmer 100 years ago, then yeah, you really need energy to get through the day. Now, 2020, you need more than just energy. If you are someone that has 87 emails that need to be replied to with 87 different decisions that need to be made and 45 push notifications on your phone, we live in this world that requires a lot more cognition than just energy. And so one of the things that I say, one of the foundational things that I discovered in diving into this space was that productivity is more than just energy. And it is energy, cognition, and balance. And it really should be measured in terms of months instead of hours. Me, 7 years ago, I measured productivity in terms of what did I knock off on my to-do list to bring it to beyond the to-do list. And I think it is, you eloquently articulate that the whole world of productivity is beyond just the 12 things on your docket for the day. It's choosing which things you're going to focus on. It's the direction, not just the speed in which you're going to act. And I think one of the things that I think about and I see eyes light up when I talk about this is that you're right. We tend to associate energy with productivity, but really productivity is energy. It's wakefulness, it's alertness, but it's also cognition, focus, clarity, memory, creativity. So, you know, lateral thinking, if you chug three coffees, if you drink a lot of caffeine, it's called a vasoconstrictor. It's going to constrict the blood flow to your brain. And it's great for running through a wall. If you have just like some big task, if you're farming that requires no cognition, maybe it's great for that. But you actually want a lot of blood flow to the brain for creative lateral thinking and creative insights and deciding, okay, out of these 87 emails, which are the ones that are most important for me to reply to? Out of these 12 different to-do list things, what's the one most important thing? And that actually requires a lot of lateral thinking. Or anyone that has done any creative problem solving just realize that you can't just run through a wall with energy. You've got to take more and more information in to try to come up with sometimes creative solutions. And those are examples: focus, clarity, memory, creativity. Those are examples of cognition. But that's also not the complete equation. I think the complete equation also includes balance, or the fact that with those 87 emails, 45 push notifications, and just a world where we have a lot of pervasive low-grade stress, a compound that you can consume in the morning, something like ashwagandha or rhodiola, and the full title of the book is Beyond Coffee, A Sustainable Guide to Nootropics, Adaptogens, and Mushrooms. And adaptogens are stress-reducing compounds like ashwagandha, rhodiola. I have found that those tend to be as powerful for my productivity than just energy. And drinking an espresso or drinking an energy shot might have been my go-to to, you know, get through one more list on the to-do list 7 years ago. I was like, oh my goodness, this is profoundly beneficial to my productivity to remove this low-grade stress that builds up. One, that's contributed to by chugging a lot of caffeine and spiking your cortisol, the body stress hormone, but also taking something like ashwagandha or rhodiola in the morning, which has been used for 3,000, 4,000 years in India for stress reduction. It is so powerful for me to just cruise through my to-do list, really just melts away because I don't have this this anxiousness that causes a lot of, for me, it will procrastinate my to-do list because I'm like, I never thought of productivity as a function of anxiousness or stress 7 years ago. But that's the equation that I think about now, productivity being energy, cognition, and balance.
We're going to move beyond coffee and talk more about nootropics in a moment with James Bishara. This episode is brought to you by Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink. And I know what you're thinking. Isn't that coffee? Well, maybe it was, but not anymore. Because Magic Mind makes it possible to quit your coffee. In fact, that's what I did for a very long time. And even for the most part now, don't drink coffee because I don't need the caffeine to get done what I need to get done or get into the flow state. Because that's what Magic Mind does for me. Magic Mind is made of all natural ingredients and has adaptogens to help decrease stress, nootropics to boost blood flow and cognition, matcha to help keep you focused, and has a lighter on caffeine approach, but still going to give you an energy boost. And through Magic Mind, you can actually drink less coffee and even quit coffee, because even though there's some possible benefits there, it's not enough to keep you away from having a coffee crash and dependency on it and just boosting your anxiety, even if you're not aware of it. For me, Magic Mind is the first thing on my to-do list every day. I wake up, I go to the fridge, grab my Magic Mind, shake it up, drink it, setting me up for an amazingly productive day. Then because of that, I'm fighting off procrastination, brain fog, fatigue. It even helps me with some of my ADHD symptoms. But what's even more important is that after 3 to 7 days of continual use, it just gets so much easier to get into a flow state, to be more productive, to feel like you don't need the coffee, and then not need it altogether. I am loving Magic Mind. I know you're going to love it too. And right now you can get 20% off by going to magicmind.co/todo and use my code todo20 for 20% off. Again, that's magicmind.co/todo. That's magicmind.co/todo. Make sure to use the code todo20, todo20. For 20% off. This episode's also brought to you by SetApp, one of my favorite tools that then connects me to so many of my favorite tools, because SetApp packs over 200 high-quality apps for your Mac and your iPhone into one. And in SetApp, there's an app for almost any task, so you can stay in your flow and finish what you've started. SetApp curates and recommends the right apps for you so you can focus on your work, and they've got a dedicated curation team that selects only the highest quality apps, so you don't have to search for those tools anymore. They're already in SetApp. Not only that, but it's a great value because instead of paying thousands of dollars for separate licenses, there's just one flat monthly fee. And with that fee, again, you're getting access to over 200 high quality apps, and they're adding more all the time. All the updates for those apps are free, and all the apps are full-featured pro versions. SetApp is an amazing way to make sure that you've got the right tools on hand at all times so that you can get past that challenge to get things done. Right now, you can head over to setapp.com and try SetApp free for a week. And if you like it, plans start at $9.99 a month. You can use it for as long as it's useful to you. And trust me, it will be. It is for me. I've been a SetApp user for many years now. Again, go try it for free at setapp.com. Try it for a week. SETAPP.com. And this episode is brought to you by the new podcast, Sit Down, Startup by Zendesk. How do you start up when the world is upside down? Sit Down Startup is a new weekly podcast from Zendesk. The startup team brings together entrepreneurs, founders, and CEOs to discuss the latest business challenges and how to put customer experience at the heart of success. Hear from people that understand unpredictability in a coffee shop style conversation. Catch weekly fresh new episodes on Apple, Google, and Spotify. That's Sit Down Startup, a new weekly podcast from Zendesk. Beyond coffee, beyond nootropics and adaptogens and mushrooms, these are all things that, like, somebody's like, well, okay, so do I just replace the coffee in my life with those things? And I think you'd say no. There's other things you've got to look at first before then diving into this world.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. That it's one of the things that I mentioned in the book, three different times in three different ways, but also try to mention it every conversation about this stuff. Though the book focuses on these exogenous compounds, that whether it's caffeine or adaptogens and ashwagandha or omega-3s, whatever it is, you know, productivity, really, the exogenous compound side of things should be last on a list of five things to do a personal audit in terms of productivity measured in months rather than hours. And that is, first thing, biggest priority is sleep. So, you know, they say muscles are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. And it kind of, it reorients your thinking towards health and nutrition, what you're eating to build muscle mass rather than just going to the gym and neglecting kitchen. Similarly, productivity, I think, is built in the bedroom, and that it's just focusing on a really consistent approach to sleep. No matter how much you meditate or how clean you're eating, if you get 3 hours of sleep a night, if you get 4 hours, 5 hours of sleep a night, then it will not help you be your most productive self. So the most important thing is sleep. Second is, and the pro tip there through my research is two things. One, aiming for 7 to 8 hours each night, and it just, it's 1 out of 10,000 people can really get by on less than that. It's, some people can, but it's very, very rare. And the second pro tip there is waking up every morning at the same time. Your circadian rhythm isn't 8 or 9 hours while you're sleeping. Circadian rhythm is 24 hours. And to set your circadian rhythm to where it knows when to go to bed, when to hit deep sleep, when to wake up naturally, you can do that by 7 or 8 days of just waking up every morning at the same time. And the second thing is diet. The pro tip there, it's great to eat whole foods. It's great to eat healthy. But actually, I think the biggest pro tip for productivity there is limiting alcohol intake. That, and it really goes back to the first one being sleep. Three or more drinks in a night can decrease your sleep, the sleep quality by up to 40%. That, you know, just wrecks your sleep, and it's going to wreck your productivity the next day. It would be like, you know, only sleeping 4 hours instead of seven. And that has a massive toll on IQ, productivity, and then obviously energy throughout the day. So that's on diet. Exercise being third. Exercise has been proven to be more cognitively enhancing than any of these exogenous and exotic sounding compounds. Three sessions of highly intense aerobic exercise a week, so about 15 to 20 minutes of cycling, running, is the pro tip there for a body's natural approach to anti-inflammation, which can cause stress, anxiety, a lot of chronic issues. And then it also is really great for just getting rid of a lot of toxins in the body. And with that decreased inflammation, it also, think of your brain being inflamed or any of your natural organs being inflamed. It's essentially sending a signal to your whole body. There's issues here. There's a problem here. This is the focus that we need to, that we need our cognitive, functions focused on. And when you get rid of that inflammation, then it's like getting rid of a headache. It is, it's really powerful for being able to focus on external tasks. Fourth is stress management. Stress management. So you got sleep, diet, exercise, and fourth, stress management. Stress management. The pro tip there is honestly the two biggest pro tips. There are the first, I think, stress management tips like meditation and breath work are really great. Dr. Andrew Weil is famous for many things within the medicine world, the medical world, and integrative medicine. But I think one of the most powerful things he has brought to the forefront in the last few years is breathwork. You could Google 4-7-8 breathing, and I think that is a really great approach to mitigating stress in your life naturally. Big advocate for, I think, the most powerful stress management approach is being honest, being super honest with everyone around you. And whether it's your job, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your friends, that can be one of the biggest sources of stress in life, is having things that you feel, that you think, and leaving them unsaid, and or deceptively leading people in a different direction. And then that really messing with your ability to mitigate stress. Fifth is this whole world that the book covers, and this whole world beyond coffee for productivity. But I'm really glad you were able to give me a chance just to talk about the fact that this stuff should be fifth on the list. And like I said, there is no magic pill that can help you recuperate from 3 hours of sleep and be your most productive self.
Oh yeah. Because coffee's the easy one to talk about, because everybody's doing it. We're all addicted. Or at least a lot of us are. It strikes me that those first three things out of the five really directly relate, or I should say, directly affect the level of stress or stress, our ability to have stress management, before going into what you were talking about, which I really love the honesty thing. That was really cool. I'd never thought or heard about that one before. But sleep, diet, and exercise obviously being incredible stress relievers, or at least giving us the ability to cope with the stress in a reasonable way versus an unreasonable way.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a metaphor for coffee. So the way that coffee works on the body is your body builds up these neurotransmitters called adenosine that tell the body, hey, we're tired, we're fatigued, we should get some rest. And coffee works not by giving you energy. It actually doesn't give us any energy. It blocks your adenosine receptors that tell your body that you're tired. So you feel like it's giving you energy, but what it's really doing is it's just turning off the check engine light in your car. It's not fixing the engine. And it is as good for your car as being like, all right, it's smoking and it says check engine, but I'm just going to turn off the check engine light. And you can think that everything's fine, but these other things actually fix the engine. Sleep, diet, exercise, stress management, and other compounds can fix the engine. So, you know, your body's actual natural energy source is kind of the nuclear currency of energy is called ATP. And ATP produces a mitochondrial part of your cells. That is, you can build that up, but it's things like cordyceps mushrooms, things like creatine. Those will build up ATP in your body, and it takes 7-8 days for it to really get going. And just like fixing the engine takes longer than shutting off the check engine light. But, you know, 400 years ago, with only the subjective experience to guide us without science or understanding of you know, the biophysiology of this stuff, you would just be like, oh, this works. That's why stimulants have culturally become so pervasive, because the subjective experience, you feel it within 30 minutes and you're telling your friend, you got to try this, versus some of these things like adaptogens that decrease your stress that take 7 or 8 days. Things that build up ATP, the actual energy currency in your body, take 7 or 8 days. It is, and again, like this just never occurred to me. I think I was like everyone else, just led by subjective experience, to where if you were to give me a pill of something, then I've tried basically everything out there. And we can talk about the really dangerous things that the research is just so clear on, that I just was like, there's no point in trying that. But something like Adderall or amphetamines, you feel it within, as a stimulant, you feel it within 30 minutes. And I think culturally that's what guided us in the last several centuries. But hopefully we're starting to get more oriented towards, you know, long-term approach, and hence the title Sustainable Approach. I really wanted in my own life to make sure that I would feel better on day 7 than day 1, feel even better on day 77 than day 7. I really wanted it to be this kind of crescendo of an arc of productivity and cognitive enhancing approach to my morning rituals, rather than these short little bursts that sent me to the ER when they culminate towards 7 little bursts of caffeine every single day.
I love the analogy of turning off the car, the check engine light, as one of the examples of what caffeine does. That it's almost like if you numb the pain, you know, oh, it doesn't mean the pain's not there or the cause of the pain's not there. You're not you're not fixing the problem. Caffeine's not fixing the problem. But I think what I hear you saying is that the right compounds can actually do healing and or repairing.
Yeah, it's our approach to. It's our approach to so much about our health is symptom management rather than getting to root causes.
Right. Yes.
And I think when you do start to think about it in terms of months instead of hours or days, then you end up only being fascinated and obsessed with the root causes of these things. And so, you know, the compounds that I really love and have come to love it through the research, through subjective experience and giving myself 8 days to feel the full effects rather than, you know, 30 minutes. And through the knowledge sharing, my two co-authors in the book are insanely smart medical practitioners around this stuff. One co-author, Dan Engel, he's a psychiatrist, neurologist, and he is a peak performance coach, one of the best in the world on this stuff. You just start to shift your thinking a little bit more towards the long term, which then really gets rid of a lot of this stuff that can give you an 8-hour boost. And then you feel like crap the next day. And you start to think about it, like I said, in terms of productivity rather than just being synonymous with energy. Start thinking about stress management and you start thinking about your sleep habits and your approach to diet and exercise. My favorite compounds in the book, you know, titled Beyond Coffee. It's not anti-coffee. Coffee is still great. I had a cup of coffee this morning, or at least half of one, and it's great for its natural caffeine. It has antioxidants. I will say I drink matcha green tea more predominantly, and that's because it has 140 times the antioxidants of coffee. But it also, early research has shown it has natural L-theanine, which we touched on before, but matcha is a great alternative to coffee because it has less caffeine. The caffeine also binds to these complex molecules called catechins that make it really hard for the body to metabolize it. So it essentially becomes nature's time release caffeine, and it has L-theanine, which helps lower and lessen the spike in cortisol to keep you calm while being awake and alert. And it's just a litany of little tips and tricks about these alternatives to coffee that have allowed me to be way more productive. But it's not even about being kind of getting things done. It's about the peace of mind that I'm able to bring into each conversation, each interaction. You know, I look back and see that there is so much when you keep driving, when that check engine light is off, but the engine is under extreme stress and breaking down. That's like you said, you can numb the pain on an injury and it's only going to make the injury worse. And I look back and I see so much of my stress didn't just come from the physiological effects of coffee, but also just the interactions. When I drink a lot of caffeine, a lot of stimulant, any type of stimulant, I can't listen to people. I really cannot have a conversation where I'm listening to someone else. That presents a lot of problems down the road. That is the engine smoking and you're not really getting the right signals by ignoring it. And I look back on just all of the self-inflicted wounds and stress that I caused that I was really numb to, I should say, because I was just kind of one trick pony. Let me drink more caffeine, more energy.
So say somebody has gone through what we've talked about here, and they've heard us talking about root causes versus symptoms and, you know, kind of address that, you know, often what we're doing is just treating symptoms instead of root cause. They've gone through and done sleep, diet, exercise, stress management, and then they're at the point now where they're considering, you know, hey, I feel way better than I did, and I've cut my caffeine intake, though I still, quote, love it and can't, quote, live without it, you know, right. They still want, in other words, they still want coffee in their lives, and they're not dependent upon it. They want to enjoy it and enjoy it in moderation. Moving into the world of nootropics, we've mentioned a few, like L-theanine and ashwagandha, and obviously caffeine also being one, really. What are some of the other ones?
And caffeine is a great one, but yeah it's not all that nature gives us.
Right. And that's kind of where I'm going here is for somebody who is just entering into that world of possibilities, I guess I want you to play guide here a little bit. I want people, I want people to go get the book and really dive into this, but take heed of the warning of, hey, don't go to this fifth thing first. Go to the 1 through 4 first. Then if you really want to be, again, like you said, not just productive, but have this peace of mind, this calm, but focused calm, this clarity of thought even, which is in a way, you know, we're talking about doing a road trip with the light off, not the check engine light off and the engine still, you know, on fire. Well, one, put the engine out, fix the light, and then the road trip, I imagine, would then almost be like we're on a hoverboard if you're in that peace of mind, right?
Yeah, that's and it's just, yeah, it's less combustible.
In other words, frictionless.
Yes, exactly. Fewer points of friction. Fewer moving parts. Yeah. You know, it's you know, you drink 5 cups of coffee, and let's say your last one is at 3-4 p.m. The half life of the caffeine will be six hours. So half of the caffeine is still in your body at 10 p.m. and therefore you're going to need more coffee the next day if you get your really low quality sleep, and especially if you're just waking up at 8 a.m. one day, 11 a.m. the next day, 10 a.m. the next day, back to 8 a.m. It can cause this really, really chaotic downstream effects. But let's say you take the time, and it takes about 12 days to rid your body of the dependence you build on caffeine. You build the tolerance within 20 to 30 days, which is so fascinating to think about. So my parents, they'll drink the same 2 cups of coffee every morning. We all know the people that will drink the same 2 cups of coffee or the same ritual every morning for 50 years. They actually stopped getting the benefits of that caffeine 30 days into it 50 years prior, which is really crazy to think about.
Yeah.
So once you build up that tolerance, you're really just in maintenance mode. If you want to get off of caffeine, you can do it in about 12 days to reset your body. And the trick there, the first 3 days are the hardest. Trick there is, you know, find it in a work schedule, you know, time window that you feel like you could do this. And the first 3 days, just be prepared with ibuprofen and drink decaf for 12 days. So that you still have a tiny bit of caffeine. You still have the kind of the ritual that you want. And it's a great approach. It's also really great if you combine it with maybe a B complex, a vitamin B complex that will give you energy in a different way. Just so that you don't feel too sluggish. But let's say you reset it, or let's say you're drinking 3 cups of coffee, 4 cups, and you know that you want to get down to less caffeine. I'd say the biggest tip I give people is switch to tea. It's what my doctor said and started this whole journey. But switching to tea, matcha green tea has slightly more caffeine than regular green tea. It's the ground up tea leaves. It has 130 times the antioxidants of green tea. So way more antioxidants than coffee, 140 times as much as coffee. And that's a great alternative to automatically give you less caffeine. It has about half the caffeine, a little less than half the caffeine of an average coffee. So you can drink 2 cups of matcha green tea instead of 2 cups of coffee, and you'll have this natural time release version of caffeine. So that's my favorite alternative to coffee. Sometimes you go out with friends to a coffee shop, or you go to a meeting and they're only serving coffee. You know, so be it. But maybe you just drink half of the cup instead of the entirety of it. Then you get into what the book dives into pretty in depth, and it's a bit of an encyclopedic read But really, people can cruise through it in about an hour. I did not want to write a book that was twice as long as it needed to be. We all wanted to really adhere to our own preference of just tell me what I need to know, make it as a simple read. So it's really a short read for folks. But other things that are really, really powerful that are just kind of hidden in plain sight and very well understood scientifically, things like ashwagandha and rhodiola that I touched on will decrease cortisol, decrease stress. It's the adaptogen side of the equation, decreasing stress for you to just, for all of us living in this modern world of low-grade pervasive stress. That can be really powerful for, think of it kind of like just freeing you up. And yet going from I like that, you know, tires on the ground to a hoverboard, it's like being, you know, half an inch above the ground. And third is something like turmeric. Turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. In 2016, it was proven as effective as Prozac for antidepressive symptoms. As effective as Prozac, it costs about $1.50 a pound versus about $1,000 a pound for something like Prozac, and has none of the side effects that SSRIs have like Prozac. So I'm a big, big fan of turmeric. Huge fan. It's in 95% of Indian dishes. You probably have heard of it and thought of it as a spice, but it's a great supplemental compound for natural compound for improving your mood and decreasing inflammation. Another really great one is something like acetylcholine or CDP choline, that's choline is naturally found in eggs, and it is great for increasing blood flow to the brain for that lateral thinking. So instead of the vasoconstrictive effects of caffeine and coffee, you actually can drink your caffeine, but if you supplement it with CDP choline or some source of choline, alpha GPC covered in the book is also another one. You can get the effects of the caffeine, the adenosine blocking aspects of caffeine, but you also, with choline, you can get increased blood flow to the brain. Choline is also really great because it not only helps with creative lateral thinking with increased blood flow to the brain when you take it in the morning, but it's also been shown to improve REM sleep at night. So it's crazy to, you know, whenever I would pick up these kind of nuggets of information around these compounds, it just makes coffee look like a sledgehammer when, you know, today in the world we live in, you really want a paintbrush. And something like choline that can improve your creative thinking, improve blood flow to the brain, and 12, 13, 14 hours later also improve your sleep quality. It sounds too good to be true, but the literature is pretty clear on this.
Yeah, it does sound too good to be true. I want to let's spell out here a little bit in the time that we have left. What's the difference between nootropics, adaptogens, and then obviously people hear the word mushrooms and they think hallucinogens right off the bat, which isn't necessarily true. So let's clear the air on these three terms.
Sure. Yeah. And if people go to beyondcoffeebook.com, they can also for free get the first two chapters. And they can also see what I take in the morning and what my co-authors, what we all take in the morning. So you can kind of jump to what does all the research say that we take. So nootropics or nootropics, it was a term coined in the 70s, and it just means cognitive enhancing products or cognitive enhancing compounds. They could be synthetic and made in the lab, like amphetamines, or they could be natural, like caffeine or omega-3s or choline that we talked about that comes naturally in eggs. But the defining characteristic is, does it improve your cognition in some form or fashion? So focus, clarity, memory, creativity. And there's kind of three buckets within nootropics. There's the stuff that's scientifically well understood. There is the dangerous, scientifically understood, but dangerous and safe in the first bucket. Second bucket is scientifically understood, but dangerous. And whether it's has addictive properties or it is kind of this spike in productivity, but you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, you pay for it the next day by feeling like crap, something like modafinil or Adderall. And then there's a third bucket, which is just hype BS and just it's got a lot of hype around it, but there's no scientific understanding of if this compound works or not. So that's nootropics or nootropics, pretty interchangeable pronunciation. Second is adaptogens, which are the stress-reducing compounds. And it's a big part of the book because of what I was saying earlier, just productivity discovered kind of this insight 3 or 4 years ago that, whoa, productivity is way more than just energy. It is cognition and balance as well. And when you are stressed, it's just none of us. You create. It's like that engine on fire. You're creating more problems than you're solving, or you know, running on a bum knee because you've numbed the pain. You're creating a lot of problems that you're going to have to pay for. And I think when we live in a stressed state, it decreases your sleep quality. It decreases your the quality of your interactions with coworkers or peers or friends. It's not a pretty place to be in. And so that's the adaptogenic side of things. And then mushrooms are just, and fungi, it's this newer category of compounds that we're understanding can't, like cordyceps mushrooms, can actually improve that the actual energy currency for the body, ATP, or the creation of ATP, or it's something like lion's mane mushrooms, which in addition to caffeine, is just another compound that nature gives us, you know, out of the panoply of compounds that nature provides us for almost everything. You know, I used to think caffeine was the end all be all that nature gives us for energy, but it turns out there's a handful of things that nature gives us. And lion's mane mushrooms is, you know, it's another fungal example of something that's really beneficial for productivity. I personally take lion's mane and cordyceps every morning. And lion's mane has a lot of the energy benefits of caffeine, but none of the physiological costs. It doesn't spike your cortisol. It is. It also improves your mood, and it's something that I've found that I can have the energy boost by having my matcha green tea with a lion's mane of maybe the energy boost of two coffees even, but I don't have the spike in cortisol, the stress. In fact, it actually improves my mood rather than stresses me out 2, 3, 4 hours later.
I have tried some different things and, you know, obviously, again, caffeine being the biggest pervasive tool. So I love that you equated it with a sledgehammer, because that is what it feels like, because it's like this. Not only does it feel like you see instant results by the slamming of the hammer, but it also can give you a pounding headache too.
Absolutely. And I am not joking when I said I had a half a cup of coffee this morning, and I don't typically drink coffee. And I immediately just started to feel this anxiousness coming up. And yeah. And it just is this, you know, within probably 3 hours. And the reason I know it's not just kind of work-related things is I had more or less a very similar day yesterday. And I hosted my own podcast on kind of a psychological approach to work called Below the Line. And so there's nothing out of the ordinary for today. But as you become more sensitive to this side of things, I just could feel within 3 hours, I'm feeling a little anxiousness. And it must have been that the coffee that I had, you know, 3 hours prior.
Yeah. Well, James, it's been awesome talking with you. Again, you just talked about your podcast. Can you, you know, pitch us to that again real quick?
Sure. So yeah, it's, I love your podcast, Eric. I told you that before we started our recording, but, podcasts are, I think it's, you know, it's this little pithy word, podcast, that makes it kind of seem like it's in this dark corner of all of the media that we can consume. But I love the fact that you can hear directly from an expert, or directly from the source, rather than through the lens of a reporter. And then you got to digest in 1,000 words on in a newspaper article. Something like this is you just get to hear right from the author, for example. So I love podcasts. And one of the things that, as a founder here in Silicon Valley, that I realized was missing that podcasts could allow us, I really miss and saw this in my own journey, that I would get the partial stories of people's kind of creation myths of their companies or their careers. And you know, it makes sense. If you have a feature in Fortune magazine, you're not going to talk about all the failures along the way. You're not going to talk about everything that keeps you up at night today. You're not going to talk about all of the mistakes you made that others could learn from. And when I went through a pretty tumultuous time in my career and failure of the last company that I was building, it was the conversations with some of the best investors and entrepreneurs here in the Bay Area, in the world, that they would tell me they went through something very similar and in their careers I would just light up and be like, man, I wish I could have heard this 12 months ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, because all you get is kind of an iceberg in the ocean. You get 10% of the story above the ground or above the waterline, and 90% of what's really going on is below the waterline. And therefore the name of the podcast is Below the Line. And it's a podcast dedicated to what's really going on within a founder's life, their career, also going into the psychological approach to creation, as well as not just their kind of external habits. And we touch on sleep, diet, exercise, and things like that for sure. But we also talk about just the reason that they got into entrepreneurship. The spiritual side of things comes up way more often than I thought it would. And people talk about kind of that softer side, but ultimately for a lot of us, the more important side of living a meaningful life and living one with purpose that might manifest itself into a cool billion-dollar company on the outside, but on the inside, there's far more you can take away from the individual than just being, you know, a financial success.
I love the concept, and it sounds like it's really exciting for you to execute on that for sure. So I would encourage everybody to go check that out, and I'll link up to that in the show notes. And obviously, everybody should go either go buy the book or go grab the book, Beyond Coffee. Let me give the full title again, because I don't want to mess it up, because it's a really cool.
Sure.
You know, I want to give the full breadth and depth of what's in there. It's Beyond Coffee, A Sustainable Guide to Nootropics, Adaptogens, and Mushrooms. And again, beyondcoffeebook.com is where you said people That's can right. go get the first two chapters for free and find out, what it is you're taking and the co-authors are taking.
That's right. And yeah, people can check out the podcast at Below the Line on your favorite podcast app and belowthelinepod.com. Folks can follow me on Twitter at James Becerra and they can see all of the different projects that I'm working on. It's true to the nature of a dedication of productive living. It's been fun to write the book. It's been fun to create this podcast in the last year. And by day, I'm a full-time angel investor in tech companies here in the Bay Area as well as around the world. And so, my full-time job is helping founders that might be a little bit earlier in their journey career than me, helping them avoid all the mistakes that I made, as well as create really world-changing products and companies. And it sounds a little cliche, but it is, I think it's one of the most highest leverage thing that individuals and teams can do is to create new products and services for the world. And it's a blessing to get to help with that during the day and talk about a book like this, at night.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for getting us more focused in and honed in on not just the symptomatic treating of, you know, what we feel at first, but digging down into the root causes and then giving us a primer on what nootropics and adaptogens and mushrooms are. And honestly, I think that probably what we're going to have to do is have you come back at some point and we do a deeper level dive and get even further, especially as things develop and change in this new world that we're, you know, at some point we'll figure out the thing that replaces coffee, right?
Right.
So.
Right. I'd love that, Eric.
Perfect. All right. Well, James, thank you so much for being here. Great to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, that's another episode crossed off your podcast listening to-do list. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with James Becerra. I really enjoyed going through the book and talking with James about this volatile topic of coffee, caffeine, nootropics, adaptogens, and mushrooms. You really ought to go pick up Beyond Coffee. It's a great book. Make sure to go check out his site as well. I'll link up to that in the show notes, which you can find at beyondthetodolist.com/312. That's also where you can hit the share button to share this episode with somebody if you know they're addicted to coffee and honestly probably shouldn't be. Or go ahead and do me the favor of hitting the share button in your podcast player where you're listening to this right now. Share it with that person you know needs to hear this episode. Thank you for that favor. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you next episode.